welcome to this week's episode of Not D&D, brought to you by EN World. I'm your host, Jessica, and this week joining me we have Jack Dixon and some geese. Jack, thanks so much for joining.
Okay, thank you. And I've got my co-host and my slightly smaller co-host on top of me.
Excellent. That'll be very useful. And for reference, if anyone isn't sure what we're talking about, this week we're talking about One Honk Before Midnight, which is a goose-based tabletop RPG adventure, hence the geese being present. And anyone knows me that I'm utterly delighted by this because I have a healthy respect and fear of geese, which I talk about often on my other podcasts. So I was delighted to see this game bring together two of my interests. We'll be talking about One Honk Before Midnight as the main part of this chat. But beforehand, Jack, I would like to talk about you and what you do in tabletop RPGs. So if people aren't kind of, my first question, I was going to say, actually, before she gets confused, would be, do you remember your first tabletop RPG experience? Like, where did you start with gaming?
Okay, so with my specifically tabletop RPG, my first experience was actually not that long ago compared to most other people.
Okay.
So it was in my husband's first year of university. I never went, so I was kind of tagged along, sort of like sat next to him while he played D&D.
Yeah.
That was 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So 2019 is when I first got exposure to specifically tabletop RPGs.
Mm-hmm.
Things like D&D and fantasy role-playing, I've been a big fan of with video games like Oblivion.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
Never specifically in a pen and paper tabletop RPG system before.
Ah. Uh-huh. So when did you start playing then? So obviously your partner, your husband was playing, and so you kind of looked at him and were like, this seems intriguing. What time did you start playing?
I was very much a backseat player for him.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you should do this.
Mm-hmm.
My first proper D&D game was
mm-hmm.
probably like 3 months later after I annoyed him enough with my backseat gaming. So it's like, okay, yeah. we'll do our own one. It's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And... God, that spawned so much of my life now. Like, mm-hmm. I like duck, a goose to water.
A goose to water, I love that, yeah. I think a lot of people do that. They start with a hobby and then they get really into it and it escalates. Very much a similar thing happened to me. So I had been gaming for a few years and then went to open a board game cafe. So I think when the hobby hits you, it hits you hard. So it sounds like that's what happened to you. So how did you go from being somebody who was a backseat player to somebody who was actually a gaming player to somebody who started creating and publishing games? What was that journey?
So I've always been a creative writer.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of where I was aiming to push life in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was playing, because I was a player, I wasn't DM, because I did not have the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I still barely have the confidence to DM myself at the moment.
Yeah.
I'm just like scary. But I used to really like writing, so mm-hmm. it started off with I was writing like kind of like adventure ideas,
mm-hmm.
and then as I learned the mechanics more, I started to implement more mechanics to my writing.
Yeah,
and that slowly turned into me writing supplements.
Oh, okay, cool.
So about three and a half years ago, I wrote a queer D&D supplement book called Adventurer Pride,
mm-hmm.
which was sort of like an experiment of like this is. I was basically writing how I would run a D&D game if I had the confidence to actually run it.
Okay.
I was writing all the stories I wanted to do and all the characters I wanted to like role play. But then I kind of formatted it into a book, which then turned out to be my life work after that. So far, it's been everything I do.
Yeah, amazing. Well, it was very well received, I understand. And I'm going to give you space to big up yourself and brag. And I believe you've won an award for that as well.
Yes, I have. I won a gaming award. Sorry, for some reason went with my throat. So yeah, I won a gaming award last year and the year before. So I've released 3 books so far. First outing, A Queero's Journey, and Queer We Go Again, are the subtitles.
Yeah.
So really working those puns in there.
I love that. We love a queer pun.
Yeah, and the last two have won awards from the gaming magazine, which has been amazing.
Nice.
And because of that, I've got to meet so many cool people because of it, especially in the industry.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's been really great.
And it's grown from there. So obviously, a lot of people will know you for those sort of adventures. And now we've moved on to geese. How did we get to geese? What was the idea behind this?
It's like a natural evolution from like gay D&D to just chaotic geese, I think.
Like
a perfectly straight journey. Well,
Sure, yeah, or Perfectly Queer Journey, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
So I've always had a love for geese. So where I live, we have a, I would say invasive, other people would say healthy, Canadian geese population.
Oh, right,
and
okay.
They've basically become my spirit animal. I go out and feed them. You're not supposed to, but I don't care.
rebellious.
Yes. So it's just like I've always been a fan of sort of the more wacky side of D&D and the more chaotic players going absolutely wild sort of aspect of D&D. And I've wanted to like create a setting or a system which really promoted the stupidness of what a player can do. And the obvious choice for like is a geese, just a chaotic creature which you both love and fear.
And that is actually what I was saying at the beginning. I have a healthy respect and fear for geese.
Which is what you should do for a goose.
Yes.
A goose is to be loved from a distance and feared from every other distance. But that was sort of how geese became sort of a part of the sort of world I do.
Yes.
And
so for people not familiar with the game, how do you introduce it to them? Because like, as you mentioned, I think the setting could be used in D&D, obviously, but it does have its very own honk system as well. But how would you introduce the game to people?
So the way we did it, that we sort of originally started with one product and then quickly split into like three other projects. So there's the main sort of campaign, which is for where you play as adventurers in a small village called Staffordongander. Who have been sort of plagued by beasts, and people don't really like start off small, like smash pots, stolen bread, and it's escalated quickly into like there was a church burning and things stolen. Wow. So the mayor has like hired a group of adventurers to sort of like protect the village while they do their annual giant vegetable fair. And then as you sort of adventure and investigate, you discover that there is a secret cult of evil geese. Plotting to end the world.
Gosh.
Because there was once, in my world, there was once a golden age of goose before man, and they want to try and bring back the honkpocalypse and really, bring things back to a more simple time where nature was in charge.
Okay. So the honk, what's the honkpocalypse look like? Is that geese in charge of humans or what's
It's geese in charge of humans. It's geese in charge. They're top of the pecking order. So there is a... I've got so many of these loaded up.
Brilliant.
Just goose-based puns.
I love it. So
there's the patron saint of geese, who is the feathered one, who has a honk that can bend the will of humans, elves, and bend the will of humanoids, I guess. So they sort of live subjugated in a nice way. Sort of like a... dragons in Elder Scrolls. So the humans sort of worship the geese and look after and sort of worship them.
Correct. Okay.
Give tributes. See
why. I love the idea of that. That makes perfect sense to me. So that's kind of the setting, the world. So I imagine the vibe of the game, as you say, very kind of chaotic, very sort of fun. That's the kind of game it is. But if you could tell us a little bit about the honk system, H-O-N-K, another great pun moment. We'll love that. So how does the game work using the honk system?
So I wanted to keep it fairly simple to just a D6 system, because I found when I first started doing tabletop RPGs, it can get quite overwhelming with, it's like, roll a D6, D12, and a D10. I'm like, I don't know what they are. So I want to try and keep the system quite simple, where it's just you roll a D6, and a 1D6 is all you really need. More D6s make speed things up. But the actual H-O-N-K is... I started with the pun and worked backwards. So I knew. I wanted to call it honk.
That makes sense.
How do I fit this in there? So I started to split them up into what their attributes are. You've got heroism, observation, nimbleness, and chaos with a K, just because that worked so perfectly.
Yeah.
Chaos with a K was the one I started with. And then, like, how do I do, like, a strength-based stat? What word goes well for strength? So each goose, when you're playing as the geese, have four stats, which is heroism, observation, nimbleness, and chaos, which kind of broadly, you know, do the attributes and stats. So heroism's, like, strength. Anything strength-based, observation is like intelligence, like observing the scene. Nimbleness is agility, getting out of tight spaces. And chaos is everything else a goose can do, going from like weird kind of out of the way magic. The way I wanted chaos to work originally was chaos to be sort of like a goose. What makes a goose is chaos that. Because a goose without chaos is just a duck. So it's sort of it's the special sauce which really makes a goose a goose, which is why they can do such absurd things. I'm just scrolling down to, so they can do things such as like for example, they can one of the abilities these geese can do, they can have a hypnotic honk,
okay.
So they can compel other creatures or humans to do what they want and to honk like a goose for 15 minutes. One of the abilities is they have a gun and they can they have a gun, yeah.
Okay.
One of the abilities is a gun and they can use a gun once. And to me, that's great. All part of the chaotic nature of the goose. That they go from quite playful, silly things to being able to create honkquakes, which, you know, create an earthquake through honks, like a tremendous honk. And yeah. And there's flock and load, which is what the gun ability is called. I just wanted to make sure I got the pun in there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then there are certain abilities which they can do which integrate well with the system itself. So the way we wanted to kind of work around the honk system, instead of having like a health-based system, but have a danger-based system. So you're more... this word's going to get me. Notoriety. Notorious, that's it.
Yeah.
So it's based around notoriety. So, you know, you start off in the village, you're just a flock of geese. People are wary of you. There's nothing bad to be said about a goose. And then as you do more and more things, you become a menace to the village society. When you get to level four danger, that's when there's like crudely drawn pictures of geese with warning signs.
Right.
Like one kid, honk or alive, that sort of thing. And then when you get to five, that's when the villagers deploy basically the adventurers from the campaign side.
Okay.
So and then you need to have a escape goose who is so out of the gaggle. One person has to be the one to sacrifice themselves. In a way they run away and don't come back.
Okay.
And usually the way we do it is that going from level one to four danger, that's sort of a group sort of thing. But whoever the goose gets over from four to five, that's the one who has to leave the game and then brought in a new goose. And some of the abilities they have is a fake glasses and mustache, where if once you get over to level five, if you're the goose that gets over level five, you can come back with just macho glasses and a mustache.
Great.
Come back and be the same goose, just different.
Amazing. Great. Okay, so it sounds like you're saying, it sounds like quite a beginner-friendly sort of game.
Yes.
So, I mean, like you say, it sounds like the ideal thing that if you've got somebody that's interested in RPGs but is kind of wanting to give it a try, this feels like a really kind of accessible, friendly way to do it. Does character creation of your goose take a very long time? Or?
Oh, character creation is very quick. It's well, we have pre-selected stats. So we have the four stats, and then we have a perk and a hidden ability, and that's basically all that goes into the character creation.
Okay, great.
And we tend to have an array. We also have pre-made geese. For example, we have a grey lag goose, Canadian goose, a silly goose, a golden goose, who are already pre-filled out their stats. So if you just want to roll a d6 to pick your stats, that's what you do, and then. And then we have the perks, which I think are the more interesting part about playing the goose. So you get there's roughly 20 perks and 20 hidden abilities you can choose from. You can mix and match which ones you want, or go full chaotic and just roll random for everything, which is, I find, especially when you're doing escape goose, just having to roll random for everything is my preferred way of bringing in a new goose. Less thought behind it, more chaos but we also have a bunch of pre-made gaggle for if you really kind of just want to throw out a character. For example, we have Honk Deenie, who is a wizard duck.
Yeah.
Of Wizard Goose, sorry. We have Friar Duck, who is a ranger, Robin Hood-esque goose. Captain Honk, which is a pirate. And Squawk Jagger. Really start to struggle towards the end with goose puns.
No, no, it sounds strong still. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know there's a struggle. It seems natural. Amazing. Okay, yeah. So really simple. So is it designed to be like a one shot, or have you had people do many adventures with it, or how is it designed?
So the Honk system is designed more for around one shot sort of play.
Yeah.
One of the big inspirations is Honey Heist.
Sure.
Which is one of my personal favorite ones you bring out at like parties, where it's very easy, just play and just have a bit of fun. It requires requires minimal prep for it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not meant to be taken seriously. And I think it works well for one shots. The actual 5e campaign probably can be done as a one shot as well. Mm-hmm. But the actual Honk system, which is its own separate tabletop RPG system, that's more geared towards like one shots and kind of party play. We've had a few people come by who said they played it with the family. It's like it's very beginner friendly, especially for like kids and stuff.
Yeah,
that's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Sounds great. And so do you? Because like you say, you're a hesitant GM. I am also a hesitant GM. Do you have any advice for people that maybe? You know, are hesitant GMs but want to run something. Do you have any advice for them if they choose to sit down and you know, run this game?
Well, I've tried my best to really help, not handhold per se, but really kind of help. We have examples on how each role works with example roles. We also have attached to the Honk system, we have a specifically written in the Honk system campaign, one-shot campaign. So, and which goes through all the steps of like the story. And for me, it's always the story, trying to improv on the fly is really terrifying, really.
Yeah.
Especially when you've got people sort of like relying on you. It's like, okay, I need to be able to come up with things on the spot. Let's go. Mm-hmm. So like each sort of like quest has its own selection of basically like three options of like, here's how you can kind of direct your players to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that sort of a vibe with that.
Fantastic. So it's useful. It's got all that in there. So it's sounding really good. And you had a successful Kickstarter where you fundraised the funds for all this last year, which is really great to see. If people are watching this now and they missed the crowdfunding, how can they pick up a copy or how can they get involved to support?
Well, the digital version of Honk is out now on the pocketworkshop.com.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now going to immediately check if it's .co.uk or .com.
.co.uk. Yeah.
My heart just dropped for a second. And on there, you can also pre-order the physical edition of the Honk system, which comes out in May. And then hopefully in a week or two, the bonus 5e campaign where you play as the adventurer Stopping Geese, which is written in 5e D&D, which is slightly, it's not D&D. That comes out. That comes out in a week or two. As well on the site for on a digital, and there will also be a physical version of that as well. And then we're hoping to at one point in the future do like a big collector's bundle where it's like the Honk system, the 5e campaign, and some other goodies as well on top.
Nice. Okay. And where's the best place for people to kind of keep up to date with what you're doing and hear more about projects and things like that?
Oh, my Twitter is usually where I post my tabletop ramblings, which is at Jackophobia. That's where you'll find me posting about geese projects and more geese.
Yeah.
Lots of goose-based tweets.
Okay, love that. I love a goose-based tweet or pun. That's wonderful. Or a honk, of course. So that's all fantastic to hear. We were talking a little bit before we started recording about, because you're in the stage of doing like printing, logistics and fulfillment, all the fun stuff that people get into tabletop publishing for, of course.
Yes, of course.
But I'm just wondering, so there are a lot of people watching that are also creators looking to make their own games. Do you have any advice for that end of kind of publishing? Because I know a lot of people that aspire to get their own games out, you know, have their own ideas about games design and the games they want to make. But I don't know if you have any thoughts to share, having been through the process, you know, with the whole publishing side of things.
I think one of the things I learned from doing this for a while is everything takes longer than you think it does. Mm-hmm. Even when you think you've set yourself out like, oh, this is 6 weeks, that's plenty of time to get this made, get this in production. You got to add like another 6 weeks on top of that.
Okay.
Because it's like you really underestimate the amount of weight in there is when it comes to, like, for example, if I want for Honk, we have to send out a test print, and the test print takes 2 weeks. Then it gets back, and then we review the test print. And if something wrong, we have to retest it. That's another 2 weeks. And then the actual production, that can take 4 weeks on top of that. And it's very easy to be overconfident with how the production side is going to go. Because I thought a lot that writing and producing the product is the hard bit. And then you actually get into the production side and the shipment side, and God, it takes a lot of energy. And if you're a small creator, I would say utilize friends as much as you can. For Honk, for when we're doing it, I have my husband and my close friend Andrew Collins. We're going to have a production line set up in our flat,
where it's
like someone puts the labels on, someone puts it on the box, just to help. And even then, it's going to take a long time.
It's
weird because you're not sure exactly how well something's going to do. So it's always best to if you are running a Kickstarter, wait until after the Kickstarter to kind of do all the logistics in that end, because you don't want to end up with either not having enough copies, physical copies, or having way too many, and then you have boxes and boxes, which we have a room in our flat dedicated to just boxes and boxes of books. I'm very grateful for my husband, because he does all the kind of actual ordering stuff, because I'm just scared. It could be quite a lot of money, and I was like, can you do it for me and, you know, get set up? Because, you know, things like we used to do enamel pins, which I thought would just be, you send your PNG out and know that's a special format you need to make in a special program. I'm like, oh God, I didn't think this was a part of making a pin.
Yeah.
It is. And so my husband's really the backbone of helping me produce the content here.
Fantastic. So it's having a team around you to support you.
Having friends to be able to lend a hand, especially with a lot of our boxes, we get all our stuff shipped to our friend Andy's place, then drives it to us, because we live in a flat, and that can be quite hard to deliver, like 50 boxes of books. And I have not got the upper body strength to lift up one of those boxes of books, let alone a pallet of them up a flight of stairs.
Oh, fantastic. Well, that's some great advice. So thank you very much. I would also agree with that, having done logistics and things, everything takes so much more time that you do. I always say, when you time it out, add another 2 months onto the end of it.
Yeah, easily.
Just for stuff happening. Even after you've calculated it with like reasonable timelines, just add another 2 months at least for just in case. Just hanging around, faffing and waiting time, because it always happens. But yes, I'm glad to see it's not just me that has that. Jack, thanks so much for coming on and talking about your game. We're coming up to the end of the time we have, so I'm wondering if you have any other closing thoughts or things you'd like to share about the game that you haven't had a chance to yet.
So one of my favorite things about the game is the sort of feedback I've been getting, and the feedback I've been, a lot of people have been like sending me how their games went.
Oh yeah.
And it seems every game has been utterly chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
In exactly the way I planned it to be unplanned.
Wonderful.
It's been just like hearing some people's stories of like playing with their kids or playing with their friends as like a break from their usual campaign.
Yeah.
And just hearing some of the absolute madness that goes on really brings me joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really proud of it. I've never made like a system before, and I wanted it to be something easily pick upable and something which can be played on the fly, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really proud of how it's turned out, especially with the art. If you listen to the podcast, you should check out the actual product, because it has some really great artwork from amazing artists who are all linked in the bio, in the bios of all the products. You should definitely check them out, because there are some which, you know, Honk Dini in particular is a particular favorite of mine. It's a goose wearing a classic wizard's hat and a wand and a spell book. You've got three geese in a trench coat pretending to be a human.
Always a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, it's been just an amazing experience overall. I'm happy that people seem to be enjoying it. That was my biggest fear, was that when you release a product, especially when you're not really that well versed in specifically writing your own system, it's like, oh God, is this how it works? Is this people like it? And you know, even until the point until like it was actually released, I was like, even after the Kickstarter was successful, I was like, are people gonna like this? People are not gonna like this, right? No one's gonna like this. They're just gonna say they regret doing the Kickstarter, but it's been absolutely wonderful. It really has.
Yeah. And that's not happened. So yeah.
Yeah. Not yet. Fingers crossed.
All right. Okay. Well, hopefully not anyway.
It's all been very positive so far.
Excellent. Excellent. It's good to hear. And reminder for anyone that if they want to check out the pocketworkshop.co.uk, specifically to the product will be in the show notes of the podcast if you want to have a look at the PDF that's available now to get. So Jack, before you go, I do ask all my guests a question. I ask them, do you have any tabletop RPGs you'd like to recommend? And the rule is it can't be a game that you've made, so it can't be the Honk System, and it can't be D&D, because this is obviously not D&D.
Oh, my geese just fell.
No. Well, they're just near the end of the interview. They're tired.
Perfect. Yeah. I mentioned, Honey Heist, which is a fantastic one. And one I've played recently, which again, I'm a big fan of the kind of wacky one-shot silly ideas. It's Goat Crashers, which I believe is made by the same person. I can't remember. But it's where you play as a bunch of goats crashing a party. Mm-hmm. And it has a very kind of like pick-up-and-go system.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. And I played it. I'm hoping to play it. So there's a convention called Isomnia, I-72. I'm hoping to play a game of Goat Crashers. I got pre-planned to play there, which I've been really looking forward to. It's going to be me kind of breaking out my reluctant GM shell.
Wonderful. I wish you best for that, yeah.
And yeah, it's like, if you like that same, it's the same sort of vein of like very unserious tabletop games.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, the mechanics are very light and you know, there's no like extensive combat system where you have to learn a whole lot really quickly.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. It's just...
That sounds great.
It's just... It can be complete madness. It's great.
I love that. I love that your recommendations as well. You're like, so I've made this game where you can be a goose and run around and do stuff. But other games I like is where you can run around and be a bear and be silly. And there's another one where you can run around and be a goat and be silly.
I like what I like. Yeah, I like playing as chaotic animals.
And that's wonderful. If anyone listening or watching also likes to play as a chaotic animal, there's a few games for you right there to try out. Jack, thanks so much for your time and coming to talk to us here at EN World. Really excited to see the game get printed in May. So it'd be great to get my copy of that. And also, if you have any other projects in the future you'd like to come back and you know talk to us about,
100%.
Love to have you back on. So excited to see what other chaotic animals you can create games for.
Amazing. Thank you.
No problem. And that's all for this week. Thank you very much to everyone for watching and listening. Bye.